Yeah, it's good. But I want to first thank you for John and the music team, Paula and Phil, leading us in worship. It's wonderful, and some of the beautiful songs that I sing today is really reminds you how great God is. And I want to thank you for Collins and our young leaders, Alex, doing the PC, and Meng, sharing the testimony. Colin, just now, did the reading of the Bible for us, and also the welcome team too. And we all too, together, we are together worshiping God, and we are part of this service together in front of God. So let's give each other a big hand for thank you for all the service there. Okay, today I want to share with you guys from the book of Philippians, as we read early on, mainly from the passage of chapter 3, but also related to other things that we learned together in the Philippines. And the topic I want to share with you is, are you an alien? Okay, some of you probably didn't know the answer to that, but let me help you today to find out whether you're an alien. Well, you know, the first time I heard about the word alien is, I'm old. It's around the end of 1970, about beginning of 1980, when the first movie, Alien, came to the movie cinema. And that's the first time, that's alien, that's what it meant. What it meant is, it's one of those monsters, right? Okay, one of those things that come out and stick, bite you. Well, that's the first time I heard about it. And after a few years, the first time I went to America, it's about the early 80s, again, in the early 80s, visiting some of my family. Went to America, went to the immigration, and guess what I saw? I saw there's a sign saying, alien and citizen. And I thought, gee, thinking back now, I thought, is this Man in Black type of things? You got a whole lineup of all these aliens lining up to get into America, and then you have all these American citizens trying to get in too at the same time. Of course, you all know that it's nothing to do. I mean, Man in Black wasn't even on the movie cinema at the time. So, and I'll quickly find out that aliens means foreigner, or those who are not American citizens. And obviously, that reminds me of the meaning of the citizenship. I mean, citizenship means a lot. If you are already American citizens, you have a chance to go into America quite easily. I mean, we are Australian, so we can come to Australia without visa or paying extra money for being overseas or foreigners. Or we have privilege of health, etc. So being a citizen have a lot of privilege, a lot of responsibility, like voting, etc. And I used to work in, when a summer job, I used to work in a takeaway shop, Chinese takeaway. And I get to know some people who are actually illegal immigrants. And some of them got really work in long hours. They had to stop because they can't show with their face in the street. So they work for somebody who are illegally employing them. So they work long hours, low wages. And a lot of time, they need to get their bag ready. I know them because they've been tearing it. Basically, every knock at the door, they sort of jump up. Is that the immigration officer coming to pick them up? And every time they need to get their bag ready because they need to go. I mean, I won't tell you who they are, so just in case that you guys are related to immigration office. But they value the citizenship a lot. They value because they know the privilege they will get if they get a citizenship. Do we do the same thing? Do we value our citizenship? I mean, obviously we're talking about Australian citizens, but it's more than that. Think about citizenship that came with all the privilege and responsibility. And we rarely think about our citizenship, but for those of us who enter this country as foreigners or immigrants, they think much about the citizenship too. Well, if you look at the book of Philippians, it's interesting. The book of Philippians obviously in the early century, the first century, and it's under the Roman rule. During that time, the Roman cares a lot about the citizenship. And the Roman had basically three or maybe a four, or including women, maybe five or something other, number of different classes. And the bottom of the classes obviously is slaves. For the slave to be a Roman citizen, they need to pay a lot of price. And if you are Roman citizens, it means a lot. I found out that to be a Roman citizen, obviously you got to vote for the Roman Empire. And you can, because the citizens, anything against you, they cannot torture you. Okay? They cannot torture you. Or you can say that I need to appeal. You can't just judge me, just catch me or put me in jail. You need to give me a chance of having a trial. etc. Okay? And those things happen in Philippians. I'm going to explain a little bit of that. Okay? And a lot of the people obviously want to get Roman citizenship. So how do you get it? Obviously, if your parents are Australian, you're born in Australian parents, or if you're born in Roman parents, you automatically become Roman citizens, right? Okay, so next slide. Okay, others, if you are outstanding service to the Roman Emperor, you become a Roman citizenship. Or, one thing you can be, just by paying, to buy your citizenship. I mean, it's kind of similar to today's, isn't it? But, the price you need to pay to become a Roman citizen is a lot. And in the book of Philippians, actually, Paul mentioned about citizenship. Because, well, remember, actually, you will think back in the book of Acts, the first time, the second mission trip for the Paul to go to Europe, he went across to Philippi, which is the Philippian lips, of course, right? And during that time, he obviously managed to talk to a few people, and then eventually some believer believed in it, you know, Lydia, etc. But eventually he got caught and put into jail. And then, remember, there's a big earthquake, etc., and then all the jail door open, but Paul didn't leave, etc. But the final thing, when the Romans say that, I found that you have nothing wrong, I can release it. Paul said in Acts 16, said to the officer, "You beat me up publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now do you want to get rid of us quietly? No, let them come themselves and escort me out." Basically, Paul is saying that I'm a Roman citizen. You can't just beat me up without a trial. So he looked at himself as a Roman citizen very strongly. And if you carry on reading in Acts chapter 22, which the youth hopefully have been reading it, because we've been following the reading plan. And last week we've been reading in Acts, last bit of Acts. In Acts chapter 22, verses 26, around that area, basically this is when Paul went back to Jerusalem, and they got the Jews trying to mob him and kill him. But eventually he got caught by the Roman and then wanted to put him in jail. And Paul said, "I'm a Roman citizen." In verse 26, he said, "When the centurion heard this, he went to the commander and reported." "What are you going to do?" he asked. "This man is a Roman citizen." The commander went to Paul and asked, "Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?" Paul said, he answered, "Yes, I am." Then the commander said, "I had to pay a big price for my citizenship, but I was born a citizen," Paul replied, etc. So you see, Paul, in his mind, he knows what a citizen really means and what does it cost to be a Roman citizen. And in the same way, in here, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20, let me read it to you. "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we are eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." So when Paul says that we are citizens, our citizenship is in heaven. When the reader read it, when the Philippian read it, they probably have all these things in his mind, and they know how valuable the citizenship in it. And Paul said, "You know, follow me and follow my example." And he's using the book of Philippians, teaching them basically how to be a good citizen of heaven. And one thing I want, there's three things I want to share with you from what I learned in here about being a citizenship or being a citizen of heaven. The first thing Paul really mentioned in this book of Philippians is rejoice. Just like today we rejoice because there's a lot of people getting baptized into the citizen of heaven, to be a citizen of heaven. The first thing Paul really mentioned a lot in this book is rejoice. Let me read it one verse for you. Chapter 4, verse 4. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say that again. Rejoice." Rejoice! Because when Paul is saying to all the people in Philippians, you all are citizens of heaven. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19, he said, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and what? And aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household." If you are the citizen of heaven, you are no longer alien. You have all the rights, all the privilege of that country, and that country is in heaven. isn't it amazing that we can rejoice just because we are the citizen of heaven? And more than that, all of that rejoice, there are a few things we need to learn why we need to rejoice. First of all, we need to rejoice because this citizenship is free, but it's not cheap. It's free. Jesus came, if you read earlier in chapter 2, what did he say? In Philippians chapter 2, Jesus, he's equal with God, but lower himself to come to die for us. So that we, our sin can be forgiven. So that we can be redeemed. So that we can be saved. And we can be raised again, just like when he rose again, that we could go to heaven to be with him in the future. This citizenship is paid a high price, but at the same time, it's free. Our citizenship is free. In Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 to 9 said, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by work, so that no one can boast." And this is exactly what Paul is saying in chapter 3 verses 12. He said, "Not that I have already attained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." It's not Paul got it. It's not Paul got that salvation. It's Christ Jesus took hold of him. That's what Paul is saying. It's free. Jesus came from heaven to take hold of Paul. In the same way, he's taking hold of us. And it's free. And that's why we need to rejoice. It's free that we are citizens of heaven. And more than that, rejoice. We need to rejoice more than just because it's free. We need to rejoice because we have fellowship in Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, which is earlier, I can't read that far. Chapter 2 verses 2. Okay. He said, "Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the spirit and purpose." That when you are together, when we are together, worshipping together, because we are all citizens of heaven, that we are all one together, together in one family. And I was privileged to see Meng for the last few months that says he's flowing with joy. And the last little while, I'm talking to Roger, mentioned about John Powell. And Roger's been mentioning that how much change he have found in Johnny's life for the last few months, and how much joy he is whenever he comes to talk to Roger. And one thing he said that really stuck into my mind when Roger shared with me about what Johnny said. Johnny said, his father-in-law is very, very strong Christian, and every time he talked to his father-in-law, which is what's his name, Yong Sa Lo. Every time he talked to Yong Sa Lo, he can see Yong Sa Lo's eye open up, and he's saying that, yeah, now I can talk to him about being a Christian and other things. And more than that, I mean, he is my father-in-law, but also he's my brother. I mean, look at that. If father-in-law become your brother, isn't it? It's kind of scary in a way, but it's happy, isn't it? I mean, look at all of us here. We all may come from different background. We may even speak different language, but we all can come together and we can rejoice together because we are all citizenship in heaven, and we need to rejoice because of that fact. But more, we need to rejoice even in times when it's trouble. When Paul wrote this book, the Philippians, guess where he was? You all know, he was in Rome, not having a great time, not looking at Colosseum or the other places. No, he was in jail in Paul. Paul was in jail in Rome. And he's probably going to be persecuted very soon. And he's writing this letter to Philippians with lots of words that encouraging them to rejoice. Isn't it amazing? I mean, Man shared earlier on about the testimony, reading the book of Carrie Ten Boom, which is during the Nazi Germany in Belgium. And the writer, what's her name, Carrie, she said that you need to pray for the enemy. And that was the time of the horrible, horrible, bad thing that happened to their country. The Nazi Germany, Nazi Germans, they're murdering people and put them into prison. But they need to pray for them. And just like similar to what Paul is saying here, that you know, rejoice and even pray for your enemy. Even when time is trouble, that you still need to rejoice because we are citizenship of heaven. We are citizens of heaven. Those things do not affect us. The last things about rejoice I want to share with you is we need to rejoice, especially when Christ is preached. In earlier in Philippians chapter 1, verses 18, he said, just call that, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice, because he's saying that some people preach Christ out of jealousy, out of envy, but some people preach because they want them to get to know Jesus. But no matter what, Paul said, Christ is preached, and for that, I rejoice. Do you rejoice when you see people accept the Christ? Do you rejoice when men and all these, Steve and Helen, come to get baptized in front of everybody, announcing that they are new creation? We rejoice when we hear our friend heard the gospel. We rejoice when they accept the Christ. We rejoice in our heart. And I mean, a lot of countries nowadays, including Australia, that we want to protect our resources. We want to protect a lot of things that we own because we are doing quite well and we don't want to share that sometimes. And let's set up a lot of borders control and label people illegal immigrants. I mean, I'm not commenting politics or other things, but I want to say to you one thing. In the kingdom of God, there's no such things as illegal immigrants. We all are illegal immigrants. To be honest, we all are illegal immigrants in the kingdom of God. We are one together, illegal. But praise God for all this illegal immigrant smuggler, so that we now can hold the citizenship of heaven. And we too need to do the same thing, to smuggle people, sorry to use the word, to get people into the kingdom of God. Because by doing that, we rejoice with them, and they too will rejoice with us. And that's why we need to rejoice. Do you have this joy? Do you take your citizenship for granted? You are citizens of heaven. Do you take that citizenship for granted? Just like the friend I met, he's scared every time. He was longing to be a legal immigrant, but he couldn't get it. And he longed for that. When he got it, he's so happy. Do we have that joy? Because it's free. Because we become fellow citizens. And because in time of trouble, we can still rejoice. And more than that, when we share our gospel with others. So do you treasure your citizenship and we even rejoice? Is that? And if you are not, if you don't know that you are citizens of heaven, do you find that out? Do you work towards it? Maybe ask Pastor Roger or myself, how do you become a citizen of heaven? So that you too can have this joy in your heart. Not because of the circumstances of your surrounding, of the things that's bad happen to you, but because you are the citizen of Christ. And I still have that when I remember the days I become Christian, and that joy is still in my heart until today. Second things I need to share with you about aliens is we are citizens of heaven, but we also are alien to this world, and we need to live like an alien in this world. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 to 19, he read, "For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many lives are enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and the glory is in their shame. The mind is on earthly thing." And you look at 1 Peter 3, the contrast of it. Chapter 2 verses 11, what did he say in 1 Peter? He said, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world, to abstain from sinful desire, which is war against your soul. Earlier, Paul saying, we are reading it, that we are no longer alien to God. We are citizens of heaven. But in here, Peter says that we are alien and stranger to this world. So if you ask me, am I an alien? Well, if I go to America again, I will follow the line of aliens, for sure. Because we should be alien to this world. What does it mean? In Philippians 3:18, we just read, he's saying that the world is destruction. Does that mean that we need to forget about this world or give up everything? Do you need to sell everything? Is that like the early church, sell all the possessions and give to the poor? I don't think so. I think the main thing is, what is our focus in life? Is our focus in life on the perishable things, the material things? Or your focus in life is the heavenly things? Let me tell you an example. Before I migrate to Australia, I live in Hong Kong and I work in a government job. And so is my wife at that time. We weren't married at that time, Bernie. And we both work in the office in the government job. And the government at that time in Hong Kong was pretty good at that time. I mean, good money. Yeah, don't worry about it. But one thing that's good is they give up grant for people who want to buy a new home. Okay, and I got my grant, got my new home, and Brandy got hers, okay. And then I was talking to one day and telling one of my colleagues saying that, I'm going to get married, Brandy. But then he said, well, why do you want to get married? If you get married, you can only have one grant. You can have, not both of you have that. You're going to lose a lot of money. Then I explained to him, no, I think God wants me to get married. And marriage is important. It's sacred. And he looked at me kind of like looking at an alien. And that's the first time I realized, hey, I'm an alien of this world. And it's not only that. Actually, recently I was talking to a student, unfortunately, talking to a student from a Causeway College. Well, anyway. And I was saying that I got free help, you know, one of those loans from government. And I was saying that I got free help, but when I'm trying to pay it off afterward, like next year if I get the help, the next year I pay it off because I think it's my responsibility. I learn it, I get the money from government, I pay it back. And he's kind of looking at me and saying, well, but why? Because if you earn lower wages, you don't need to pay. Don't need to pay back. It's great. A lot of us like want to enjoy. But I said, no, my conscience tell me that I need to pay back. And he kind of look at me again. Are you an alien? I think some of us are alien without realizing it. I mean, I'll give you another example. The gentleman in front of us, Scott and Chrissy. They stopped in helping the youth worship for a lot of things and really appreciate what you've been doing with the youth. And one thing he shared in front of us, he's saying that when he committed Christ, every year for holidays, that you, instead of spending the time in holiday, in a luxury place or traveling, you spend it in a mission field. Every year, they will spend it in mission field. I'm sure if you tell that to your colleague, they will probably look at you. Are you crazy? Are you alien? There's an alien in us that we didn't realize. And we need to nurture that. Because God tells us that we need to be an alien of this world. The thing that we are focusing on is not this world. And this year when Scott going to quit, in 2 months time, he's going to Thailand on his mission field. And guess what? Lisa and Peter suggest that, well, let's have a Christmas shoebox appeal to bring gifts to the kids over in Thailand. Because those Christians over in Thailand are also citizens of heaven. And guess what? They are our brother and sister too. So we're going to stop. Lisa's, hopefully you can't escape now. Lisa is going to organize that, to organize Christmas shoebox appeal within the youth so they can buy things, I mean little things like toothbrush or toothpaste or books or paper to bring over in Thailand to help the other citizens of heaven. And that's because we don't focus. We try not to. We learn not to focus things of this world. We want to focus things of heaven. And that's why we rejoice. And that's why we're living like an alien. One thing, I still got a little time. And I still got another point. One thing I want to share with you. I don't know Bill Gates. You all know Bill Gates. I don't think he's. I don't know whether he's Christian or not. Okay. In just the last week, he just had something on the news, and I think, hey, this guy has some idea. I think he got what Paul said. And the title is that I will not leaving my 56 billion fortune to my kids, says Bill Gates. Basically, Bill Gates realized that, hey, having all this money is no use. It's much more useful to help others, to lead others so that they have a better life. I mean, I don't know whether this guy is Christian, but I think he got some idea what is meaning of being alien. I'm sure a lot of people look at him and say, does he look like an alien to you? Does he look like an alien to you? I think he does look like a bit like it. Yeah. Sorry, Andre, Ryan. I'm not going to leave you my $56 billion for you. Finally, the last point I want to share before I go. What Paul is saying is, be ready. We will be home soon. Alien means that you're leaving a country, you're traveling. The first time I went backpacking in Europe, I spent a whole month in Europe and I was tired and looking forward to go home in the last few days. When I got home, I slept for 2 days without getting up to get breakfast or dinner. And I'm ready to go home. And same here. We need to be ready to go. In Philippians 3:20-21, it says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enabled him to bring everything under his control, we transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. I like that verse. Because I'm getting older, I play soccer slower. I can't even get the ball. And John is laughing at me every time when we play soccer. I'm looking forward to my glorious body when I'm home. And I'm almost there. Well, actually, funny thing is, Paul is like that. You read Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, which is a few chapters earlier. He said, for me, Paul said that, for me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He's almost there, isn't it? But at the same time, it sounds very pessimistic, isn't it? It's almost like, oh, I'm in prison, I give up. Lord, you want to take me home? Take me now, I'm tired. But I don't think so. There was a commentary saying that what Paul is really saying is I don't know which to choose. I'm reading out from a commentary to somebody. To me, to live is to have Christ, and to die is to gain heaven. But if I have to choose, I don't know what I'll choose. To live is to experience Christ, who is my life. Thus, life is continual adventure and excitement, and I can hardly wait to live it. This certainly indicates that he's not fed up with life at all, nor was he discouraged because of his circumstances. Writing to this Philippian, Paul said, don't be disturbed about me, brothers. You hear that I'm in prison. But let me tell you something. My circumstances have served to advance the gospel, and my imprisonment has made it possible for the gospel to spread in Rome as it never has been. And I'm not discouraged. I'm rejoicing. Furthermore, the other Christians in Rome are stirring up and are preaching around the city. At the same time, I have done my best to serve Christ, and I'm ready to go and see him. Paul is not pessimistic. He's optimistic. And he's ready because he's content in what he's doing. Even though he knows that he's run towards the goal and hasn't reached it yet, but he's done his best. Are we content in our life? Are we ready? Are we ready to go? I don't think so yet for me. I think God still asks me to do a lot more things for him in the future. And the same thing to you guys too, probably. Especially young one. There's a lot of things you need to do. But we need to contend with our situation. So that just like the story that I told you earlier about the illegal immigrant, get his back ready. Anytime when there's a knock at the door, you grab your back and go. Because we are illegal immigrants in this place. We are citizens or heaven? Are you content with what you have? Are you content in how you live your life? Paul in Philippians, in conclusion, Paul in Philippians is saying that chapter 1 verses 27 said, whatever happened, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Yes, I'm an alien on earth because I'm a citizen of heaven. How about you? Do you take your citizenship of heaven for granted? Do you look at it with joy and excitement? Are you a joyful alien who is ready to go back to heaven? Joyful because your citizenship is free, that you are fellowshipping with each other, that even in times of trouble you still smile and joyful with others, that especially when Christ is preached and somebody accepted Christ and be baptized, you're even more joyful. But you realize that you're an alien on this world, and you're ready, you're content with what you are, you're ready to go home, and you're longing to go home. One illustration to finish off. Apparently in America, the Secretary of State called, during the Reagan administration, called George Shush. I don't know, Shush? Shush. See, I'm an alien in this world, I told you. I can't pronounce those weird American names. Okay, Shush, yeah. And he was the Secretary of State, so he's responsible, look after all the ambassadors, people ready to go to overseas to serve the country, like in anywhere, Mongolia, China, or Australia. But every time he makes sure that he interviews them before they leave. And he also got a big globe, you know, big ball, like the earth, spinning around in his room. And the last thing he would say to the ambassador, saying, well, punch me, okay? You go over there, spin the globe, and put your finger on the country of your country. And usually your ambassador will go and spin it and then point you. For example, if they go to Australia, where, guess where they point you? You point to Australia. Right? Oh. And then he also get his friend, so Mike Mansfield, this is story, who was appointed to be ambassador to Japan at that time. And he even get his friend to do that. I mean, Mansfield was a friend of Shooks. Right? So Mansfield go and spin the ball and then just pawn. Guess where he pawned at? He's going to Japan. He's pawning at United States. Because that's where his country is. As a Christians, we are to remember that we are in this world, but not of this world. Our citizenship is elsewhere. It's in heaven. And so our priority must be derived from elsewhere, from heaven as well. Your country is not on this earth. It's not where you're going. It's where you belong, which is in heaven. Let's pray. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you to tell us, and you came not only tell us through the word, but tell us through your persons who came down on this earth to die for us, to help us to realize that our citizenship in heaven, that we now can have this joy, that we can rejoice because you gave us and it's free. And because of that, we rejoice, Lord. We just want to thank you. And help us to live a life worthy of our calling. That we need to look at this world, not focusing on this world. Because this world, if we focus, is destruction. It's just our stomach. It's perishable. But the things that we should focus is on the unperishable things that's in heaven. So help us to really appreciate our citizenship in heaven and to live our life as an alien in this world. May you help us to rejoice, especially later as we rejoice together and we see the brother and sister getting baptized into your name to get their citizenship. So Lord, we just want to thank you for all the things that you have teach us and all the things that you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand together and sing quickly. Just that new song that we learned. Just the first verse.
Faithful Savior, God of all my